For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
All right, well, I've been bribed to wear a shirt and try to get you guys to buy it for Cambodia. I'm a sucker for free things, so it's available out there if you want it. I just wanted to share a few thoughts from lesson 31 of Andrew Murray's book, With Christ in the School of Prayer. And this lesson really centers on a pretty short verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continually. Two simple words and yet profoundly confusing. When you think about what it means to pray continually, if you're anything like me, I think the first question that comes to mind is, how do you get to do all the other stuff you need to do in your life if you're always praying? It's confusing. I was talking to a brother the other night about this, and he admitted to me, he said, you know, when I think of prayer, it's kind of like a light switch. You either turn it on or off. So it's something you're either doing or you're not doing. And I think the reason we feel that way a lot of times is because we feel like when we are praying, it's when we are actually talking to God. And yet I think that's a one-dimensional perspective of prayer. If we think about prayer as communicating with God, then it's not just going to be talking to God. It's going to be about listening and just being in the presence of God. And so I want to argue that. I want to argue that, you know, when we pray continually, that when we understand it correctly, we're not going to feel as bad as we normally do about our prayer lives. Gordy mentioned earlier this morning, Oswald Sanders, quote, if you want to humble a man, ask him how his prayer life is. And I think the reason why we resonate with that is because we feel bad that we don't spend enough time talking to God. So I want to spend just a little bit of time here looking at this. You know, the first thing that I want to talk about is abiding in God's presence. If you understand prayer as us connecting with God, then that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to be talking to him or that he needs to be talking to us, but that there are times where we can just be in his presence and enjoy that. You know, think about a son who wants to go to his father's workshop as his father is working, and maybe they don't really say anything, but there's this sense that they just want to be together and that there's a closeness that comes from that. Of course, when we talk about abiding in God's presence, we think of John chapter 15, in particular, John 15, verse 5, when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Typically, when we read this verse, we think about how if we're connected to Christ, that means that we're going to bear fruit. And certainly that's the way we should read it. But I think another way to look at this is that the natural state of a branch is to be connected to the vine. That to be broken off or disconnected is not the way things are supposed to be. In other words, when we have a relationship with God, we are connected to him positionally. And so those feelings that we often have when we turn to God and we feel like, you know, I just haven't been close to you and I feel so bad, I'm just not connected with you. Positionally, that's not true. We are connected to him. And so instead of just simply turning to God and saying, okay, here I am, we're together, we're connected, and I just want to turn to you in my thoughts, most of the time we spend our time feeling bad about our prayer life. You know, how are you able to abide when most of your day your mind is preoccupied with work, school, taking care of children, or ministry? You ever wonder that? You know, there are large portions throughout the day where it seems like every single moment is preoccupied with something else. Maybe our job is very demanding and we can't just kind of zone out and think about God while we're, you know, doing our thing. And Murray actually has a really interesting analogy on this that I think is good. He says, think of about a father who is devoted to his children and his wife. You know, there may be stretches throughout the day, hours on end, where he's not going to be able to think about his wife and his children. And yet his love for his wife and his children are as real as if he spent a moment, tried to conjure up an image of them in his mind and feel those love feelings. And in the same way, he argues that just because we're not thinking about God in the moment doesn't necessarily mean that we are not connected to him, that we don't love him. You know, this also underscores the fact that we must seize the few fleeting moments that we have throughout the day to turn to God. Murray says something about this in Abide in Christ. He says, each time your attention is free to occupy itself with the thought of Jesus, whether it be with time to think and pray or only a few passing seconds, let your first thought be to say, now at this moment, I do abide in Jesus. Use such time not in vain regrets that you have not been abiding fully, or still more hurtful fears that you will not be able to abide, but just at once take the position the Father has given to you. I am in Christ. This is the place God has given to me. He's saying, instead of spending those few moments that you have throughout the day fretting about how you haven't spent time thinking about God, instead, tell him, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I have this opportunity. Don't waste that time. Additionally, we have to plan ahead. We have to make sure to draw upon the power of God so that we can be nourished throughout the day. Again, Murray in Abide in Christ says, during the day, there come hours of intense occupation in the rush of business or the throng of men when only the Father's keeping can maintain the connection with Jesus unbroken. During the morning, manna must be fed upon all day. It is only when the believer in the morning secures his quiet time in secret to renew distinctly and effectively loving fellowship with his Savior that the abiding can be kept up all day long. So he says, gather up that morning manna and eat it all day. Feed upon it. So it's important to spend daily time with God and be fed to be able to nourish you throughout the day so you don't get run down. The second thing that I want to talk about is listening. When we talk about praying, again, we usually think about talking to God, and yet I think a lot of prayer is about listening to the voice of God. Think about when Samuel was called by God, and the third time Eli says, okay, if the Lord calls you, get up. And he says, tell the Lord this. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So part of praying means that we are getting input from God, that we're listening to his voice. You know what that means is that God's going to speak through the word, through strong impressions, or through people. I don't think we do this probably enough in our lives, you know, where we are going through the day and we're thinking about people, we're thinking about our family, we're thinking about our home church, situations in our life. And I think what listening prayer means is that we are allowing God's input into our lives, where we simply turn to him and say, okay, why don't you speak to me on this issue if you have something to say on this? And a lot of times God will speak. You know, I think your best ideas and your direction for your ministry come from listening in prayer. I don't know how some people do ministry without listening to God. I think that's where I get a lot of my best ideas for teachings. That's where I get discernment in discipleship. That's also when I get direction for where maybe God is saying, I want you to move in this direction in your home church. There's this problem that you need to fix. And finally, I think being a bad listener is going to block you from having intimacy with God. You know, a lot of times we get to a place maybe in our Christian lives where we are getting a regular time with God, and yet what happens is the intimacy can get leached out of that. You ever feel that way? Where you've got a routine going, and yet you don't feel like you're actually connecting with God. You know, for a long time now, I've been doing this prayer list for a number of years, and I do it every day. And there was a period where I realized that even though I was doing that every day, there was like maybe a few week or maybe a month long period where I realized that I wasn't connecting with God. And so finally I told God, I said, look, I want to be close to you. I want to connect with you. You know, we would never tell a young believer that you should be looking for spiritual experiences to fuel your Christian life. But I think that there's a problem when you look at your time with God and it's devoid of any sort of intimacy. That's a problem. And so a few days later, as when I woke up, I woke up with my kid early in the morning when he was, about 7 or 8 months old. And I sat on the couch in his room and I just held him there reading my word. And, you know, I would look out the window and look at my son, and I just was beaming with gratitude that God would give me this great life. And I'd pick back up where I was reading, and I came across this verse, Psalm 102, verse 18, where God says, let this be written for future generations to those not yet created so that they may praise the Lord. And at that moment, I broke down in tears. I felt like God was speaking to me at that moment, saying, I wrote this for you so that you would know that I love you and I want to give you good things. And I was just so grateful for that. You know, for some of us, we're missing that. We've lost it. Part of it may be that we're just talking to God, and yet God's like, look, why don't you shut it? Listen. I want to say something to you. You know, I think there are a number of barriers to listening. First of all, being mindless. Some of us, we just kind of go with the flow. We live our lives on autopilot. That's kind of our default. We don't really think about things. And when people say, so how are things going with your family or how are things going in your ministry? They're just, you know, you're just drawing a blank like, can you repeat the question? And we just haven't spent the time to really think through the people in our lives, the situations maybe that God is putting us into. And so we need to learn how to make that a part of our lives. You know, one of the things I've done with a few of my guys who tend to be this way is I said, you know, you should probably set up a discipleship journal where you just record thoughts or impressions that you have. And maybe before you get together with your disciple, you can think of maybe things that you want to bring up, either encouragement or admonition that you think is appropriate. And it really helped revolutionize their discipleship and their relationships. I think another thing is being easily distracted, where our mind just wanders. A few years ago, we at one home church got done with a teaching and we sat down, we were praying together to close up the meeting. And one of the brothers was praying, said, Lord, you're just so powerful. I really thank you for doing great stuff in our lives. And I pray that you would continue your work to infinity and beyond. And I thought to myself, wait, did he just quote Toy Story? It's like Buzz Lightyear took over his body and started speaking through him. You know, some of us are that way where we just, you know, we can't keep our mind focused. And part of it is that we're probably setting ourselves up for failure. You know, we're not going to a place where it's quiet, where there are no distractions. You know what Bill Hybels says? He says, go find yourself a comfortable chair in your house. Go get yourself a cup of coffee. And just make your time with God an enjoyable thing without distractions. And so we need to try to really fight through the distractions maybe that plague us as we're trying to pray and listen to God. Finally, we need to resist being plugged into media. It's almost like tweets, Facebook updates, emails, text messages. They're slicing through every waking thought of our lives. And there's going to be times where we need to turn that off and just listen to God and be quiet. And it's not going to be easy. This is what Murray has to say. He says, when you're praying, let there be intervals of silence, reverent stillness of the soul in which you yield yourself to God in case he may have something he wishes to teach you or to work in you. Take time to be separate from all friends and all duties and all cares and all joys. Time to be still and quiet before God. Take time not only to secure stillness from man and the world, but also from self and its energy. Though at first it may appear difficult to know how thus quietly to wait, with all the activities of mind and heart for a time subdued, every effort after it will be rewarded. We will discover that it grows on us and that the little season of silent worship will bring a peace and a rest that give a blessing not only in prayer, but all day long. I really like that. We're going to have to fight for quietness, stillness, so that we can hear the voice of God. Finally, I want to talk about talking to God. I think, first of all, I think it goes without saying, getting regular, uninterrupted time with God is going to be essential for your walk with God and your ministry. I know we talk about this a lot, and yet I think that as we go through transition in life, it gets harder and harder to maintain that schedule, to maintain that time with God daily. I think for me, the thing that really convinced me of this was after reading O. Halsby's book on prayer, the section that Gordy cited this morning, where he said, "Don't you realize that prayer is the heartbeat of the life of God? And don't you believe that if that's true, that Satan is going to try with all of his might to stop us? That he's going to mobilize anything that he can commandeer to prevent us from praying to God?" And for me, the thing that really struck me about that and changed my life when it came to my prayer was that it made me realize it's not going to be easy to spend regular time with God. And all of those feelings of guilt that I would have whenever I would feel an aversion to turning to God in prayer, I realized that's just the natural course of spiritual warfare. Of course Satan is going to try to stop me here. And so I decided that I was going to start up a prayer list, short one, you know, 2 pages, where I'd start with a Thanksgiving section right at the beginning. And what I did was I would just, you know, open up yesterday's document, April 19th. I'd click Save As, put in 20, and then I'd start updating my prayer list. And the first year that I did this, I realized, looking back, that I had done pretty good, that there were maybe a couple exceptions where I wasn't able to pray, and I started feeling pretty good about myself. But it was hard. It was hard because, you know, there were times where I'd forget. It was late at night. I'd climb into bed, and I'd lay my head on my pillow, and I'd think to myself, oh, my God, I forgot. And so I had to go drag my sorry ass out of bed, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would just be like, okay, I'm going to spend time with the Lord here. It's hard. And yet one of the things that came to my mind after, as I was reflecting on this, was that even though I was getting regular time with God, I realized that I wasn't close with Him. Again, even though I had this rigorous schedule of praying to God, it's really easy for things to get functional. I think that we have to be attuned to the Holy Spirit's leading in prayer. We have to learn how to recognize His voice when He's calling on us to turn to Him. You know, I think about how there are times where I'm praying about something and, you know, I feel like, okay, this is just too mundane. There's no way that I should be praying about this because there are more important things that I should be praying about here. And so I'll try to pray about these things that I know are important, like my relationships or my ministry, and yet my mind continually drifts. It's one of those things where if you just allowed your mind to just land wherever it went, it'd just be that thing. And a lot of times it was something stupid like paying a bill or having a busy day. And I would resist praying about that thing because I felt like it was too stupid, that God didn't want to hear about that. And yet, I came to the realization, what if God is actually prompting me through the Holy Spirit and saying, no, I want you to cast your anxieties on me. This is what you're worried about. I don't care if you think it's silly or stupid. When I say, don't be anxious, I'm serious about that. So listen. And so I think it's important for us to be attentive to the Holy Spirit and to break away from the rigidity that we sometimes feel when we are doing our prayer list or our prayer journal or our prayer cards. You know, I think that when we are listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like when we have a cell phone. Most of the time, we can make outbound phone calls. But I think listening to the Holy Spirit is also kind of like having your phone on and allowing, you know, text messages or incoming calls to come in from God and Him to interrupt our lives, no matter what we're doing, and Him saying, okay, this moment, I want you to pray. I want you to think about this. And also, I think we need to fight against that rigidity during our daily devotional time. Some of us are so dead set on keeping our prayer list that a lot of the intimacy just kind of evaporates from our prayer time with God. And so we need to fight against that. All right, I just want to draw a few points of application. The first thing is that some of us are feeling pretty guilty about our prayer life, in part because we have a narrow perspective on prayer. Prayer is not just about talking to God. It's also about these other things. So the question is, are you cultivating time where you are just in God's presence? Are you listening to God? If you are, then maybe you're feeling bad for no good reason. Secondly, some of us have gone so rigid in our devotional time that we're lacking that intimacy. And so maybe the step you need to take is you need to be in step with the Spirit and listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, even during those times when we're going through our prayer list. And finally, don't spend those precious moments you have fretting about your unfaithfulness to God. Just spend those times connecting to Him. Turn to Him and say, I'm here. Don't say, oh man, I screwed up, God. I know that we haven't talked in a while. Turn to Him. That's what He wants from you. Okay. That's what I had. Why don't we get Lef and Jody up and then maybe answer some questions.
So, Conrad, I really liked your point about how being plugged into media is really distracting, and I don't totally feel that all the time. I was wondering if maybe you had any kind of practical suggestions, because like a lot of the guys that I work with, younger guys, are like totally like into tech all the time, and I don't know how to get them to, I don't know, like maybe practical tips on how to get people to not be so obsessed with that all the time.
And, okay, that's what I need to make.
Okay. Yeah, I think it depends on the person, I think. For me, I like to get out like in nature, and that's where I can really concentrate, try to get away from people. For some people, that might be really distracting. Might be like, oh, the bird, you know. You know, maybe for some of us, it's better that we just go into a quiet room, you know, maybe draw the curtains and just sit there silently and maybe in a dark room. I don't know. I think that the point is that we just turn off the machines, we turn off the technology, and we just try to consciously turn to God and quiet our hearts.
So, where's Eric Schroer? We need you in the back. Could you go back there and talk to
Brad?
Brad. There you are. What a great hookup. Sorry. It had to be done.
Okay.
It's interesting, this whole topic. Earlier today, I was reading the end of Hebrews on the final greeting, and this is more focused on what Jody was saying about keeping the unity. And I noticed at the end there, it ends with the idea of loving your brothers and being unified. So I just kind of was curious and started looking through the end of all the big letters, Romans, 1st and 2nd Cor, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And he ends every letter with this idea of keep the peace, keep unity. And he also seems to couple it with the idea of and having the peace of God. And he also four times talks about greeting each other with a kiss, but I don't think we need to do that. But I kind of looked on my own, shortcomings during times of disunity. And I noticed that it always accompanies not only a lack of peace with my co-leaders and just different people, but also a huge lack of prayer in my own personal life, and specifically about the team. And the result is always a lack of peace with God, constantly. So there's that. And then I also see it on other times where it's easy to become overly focused on trying to have peace with everyone to a point where you're not just letting things go. And I was kind of curious, like, how do you guys seem to balance that? The idea of overly focused on kind of like keeping the peace and allowing some things to go, you know, for the sake of time.
Great question. Any thoughts?
Sure thing.
I definitely think there's the, to be at peace with God is the number one thing. And I think, you know, allowing God's Spirit to lead us. But, you know, there are times when God's calling on us to disturb the peace for a while in order to create a deeper peace and, you know, a peace that's more in harmony with His will. And I think, you know, that really requires, you know, just thinking through the situation, what is it that God wants to do? And, you know, talking it over with the other workers and leaders, that, you know, is this the kind of thing that we really need to deal with now? Has God got another way that He's going to deal with it? Trying to keep the peace at the cost of faithfulness to God isn't worth it either. There's something that's going to be lost more important there. That's my only thought on that.
I was thinking about what you were saying there, Conrad, about having like a consistent prayer life where you're like sitting down with the Lord every day. And I think like, well, I know like a lot of people like to do that in the morning, like kind of start their day off on the right foot. And I was just thinking of like a practical thing. So, you know, like Satan's always trying to throw his best arrows to stop that from happening. So when I wake up in the morning to do that, like, you know, my mind's like particularly weak then, like, you know, I just wake up feeling guilty a lot or just, you know, tired. I like my bed and stuff. Don't want to get up. And I think one like practical thing to really help you get up in the morning is just like when you're falling asleep at night is like thinking about how awesome it's going to be to hang out with God and what you're going to read and what you have to pray about and just like be excited about that and kind of end the day on that note. And then when you wake up, it's kind of like helps kind of keep that continuous thought process. It's like real helpful for me to like get up and be excited and just like ready to go in the morning.
Yeah, it's good. Anticipation, it's good. Yeah.
So I'm arrested by this passage that was brought up, I think earlier today from Daniel 10. And the fact that we get a little bit of the curtain pulled aside and the chess pieces that are moving behind the scenes when we pray, and I think it's that needs to be on our minds more, that when Daniel was praying and then he was told as soon as you started praying, the command from the throne was issued for us angels to go do this and that thing. And I think it would be good for us to realize how much is really going on behind the scenes when we pray. I think of this especially with evangelism, and I think that as adults are really wrestling with this of winning their friends and so forth, that it is prayer that is one of the greatest weapons that we have that can reach into the heart of the non-believer and convict them mm-hmm. of the gospel, and God moves through those prayers. And I love Daniel 10, and I wish there were more passages like that, but that God is moving the chess pieces that you can't reach, mm-hmm. but He can. Through your prayers.
That's a great word, Phil.
Yeah, we should probably cut it off after these two here, I think. It's going to be okay. About the time. You know, one thing I would want to say to what Phil was saying there, too, is, you know, I think spiritual change takes way more time than we realize. You know, we feel like it's just this one change that needs to happen, and yet there are so many things that God has to accomplish to get that person to the point where they're ready for that to happen. And Sue and I had an experience where we started praying for our neighbors. We were praying for 5 years, and finally one of them came to Christ. And we kind of had the thought as we were going along, nothing much is happening. And then after they came to Christ, we started putting together the pieces of all the things that had happened along the way where God was working to bring them to Christ. And so I think we just feel like it's so much simpler than it is, and we don't realize, you know, the amount of inertia that's there in the spiritual realm that has to be changed, that, you know, it takes time. Yeah.
So in the last couple of years, as I've gotten a little older, I've noticed that putting songs to verses has been real helpful in memorizing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody can relate to that or not, but it's helping me at age 50. So, but as God would have it, one of the verses I memorized recently was the one that you taught on, Lef, which is Hebrews 7:25. So, what I've
sing
found
it for us.
Do we well, if you did, I was going to ask if you don't mind. I'd be glad to share that with you. Sure. So, what I wanted to say before I sing it is that. is that I find it helpful to sing, particularly that verse,
okay,
as I begin my prayer time in the morning.
Mm, all right. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so here we go. Bear with me. All right. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them.
There's a full man.
All right.
Hebrews rock.
Well, what did you say, Jeff?
Hebrews rock.
Hebrews rock.
That was amazing.
Check, check. Yeah. I've got some choreography too that I like to do.
Come on up.
That should be good.
Let me get my scarves out first.
Your pink boa.
I think we get a lot of fulfillment and encouragement from knowing that we're in line with God's will. Mm-hmm. With everything that we're doing. So I think the quote that really stuck out was, Conrad, from your teaching, was that, I'm in Christ. And this is the place that God has given me. And that is such a more encouraging and fulfilling place to start from than where we normally do. Mm-hmm. And I just think that was like such a good quote. And I would really wish that I could start my prayers off like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of feelings that we experience that are contrary to what are true of our position in Christ. And it definitely requires an act of faith for us to stand firm in the position that God has given to us and acknowledge, I'm connected to you, even though I don't feel that way a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if as we get older in the Lord, that gets better. I don't know.
Yeah. So what do we need to
do? Oh, right. Okay. Some announcements. Communion stuff. One person per group picks up the bread and the cups on the way out. And then also BYOB and food. Oh, BYOB/food to Tall Pines and Loft area. There you go. Why don't we just pray?
We should pray.
Yeah.
All right. Lord, thank you so much for this serving team. And thank you for the gift of prayer that connects us with you. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, just that you would give us the kind of habits that Conrad was talking about, that we would be able to see your weight, your glory, as we seek you out in a personal way. Help us, Lord, to stand boldly on our position in you, so that our requests are not just whining into the air, but are just the requests of your children, whom you accept fully and who you want to use. Fully, and you want to bless completely. So just thank you that you've given us just a way to communicate with you in a way that can change eternity, that really alters the course of our own lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lord, I thank you that you put this on our hearts, that this is what you wanted us to talk about at this retreat. Mm-hmm. And that it's always going to be an issue that we learn to pray more effectively and more consistently. And it really seems like this is a time when you've brought us to a point where you want us to move ahead, Lord. I pray that we could really dwell on the elements of this retreat that have really spoken to our hearts and go out and act on them, Lord. I thank you that there are members in this group that are great prayers, Lord, that, mm-hmm. That are examples. I pray that their examples could really shine out. The rest of our church could take some encouragement from them, Lord. And we just pray that you would build us into a church that really is in constant communion with you and able to ask you in confidence, knowing that you're going to act because we've drawn close to you and we know what your will is, God.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for opportunities like this where we can sit under your word and just be filled. Mm-hmm. Pray that it would just energize us as we go back home to serve you, Lord. And I also just really want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. You've paid a great price for us to be able to even do this, mm-hmm. to be able to enter into your presence boldly. And Lord, we just pray that we would never take that for granted, but that we would cultivate a deep relationship with you. Mm-hmm. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.